Well, welcome back to our study of Genesis. In our first session, we were reviewing the Pentateuch, and we spent some time talking about that. And there were some key points that we discussed you're going to want to remember for your test. The first one being that we do not live under the Old Covenant. However, we need to understand and apply the principles of the Old Covenant. So those principles are very important to our daily lives, right? We don't want to just be readers of the Word. We want to be doers of the Word. And we don't have to be doers of the law because we're under the New Covenant, but we need to be doers of the principles embedded, right? The other key point that we discussed you're going to want to remember is that the Pentateuch is the type and shadow. Jesus is the substance. And we don't want to be relying on simply type and shadow, do we? We want substance. Now, we're getting ready to begin Genesis. And we're going to talk about an introduction, and then we're going to move into creation. So let's look at our outline here, and then I'm going to talk about some things and about creation.
Well, you want to go ahead with the introduction and incorporate that other as you want.
Okay, that sounds good. Yes, sir. So the book of Genesis is the first book of the Pentateuch. We talked about that. The title of the book in the Septuagint is Origin, or Beginning. The book of Genesis is divided into 50 chapters. There is a lot that happens in Genesis, and it's really, really an excellent book.
The Bible originally was not in chapters and verses, mm-hmm. and so many years after various translations, it was put into chapters and verses for easy referencing, to divide things up. Because it's like taking a scroll and trying to find something out on that thing. So it helps us to locate better, okay? And so a lot of times you'll find that things may have been divided at an unusual time. And sometimes you need to just read on through the chapter to keep the context of what's being said, okay? Mm-hmm.
The first chapter opens with, "In the beginning, God," thereby revealing that God existed before the beginning of creation and that creation came forth from God.
Now, when you look at this, and if you go back to the Hebrew, Aramaic, you'll find that the word God is translated from the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim is the plural of El. El being God, Elohim being gods. Okay, from the perspective, there's more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is why we speak of Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
There's one God, but there's three manifestations of that one God. And so when you see this, we're in the beginning, God. And later on, he says, "Let us," mm-hmm. which is a plural word as well. And so, understand that in creation, you have the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit who make up God. In 1 John chapter 5, he says there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that he doesn't say the Son, because the Son had not yet been born.
Mm-hmm.
But the Word has always existed. Okay, so anytime you see that God, you have to equate that to the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Remember the first chapter of John, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." all things were created. You remember that? So Jesus was there, and you drop down to that 14th verse. Is it the 14th
verse?
Let's go on with it.
The word. And all things were made by Him.
Yeah.
Who's Him? Him's referring to the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So it's referring back to the Word. All things were made by Him, and without Him, without the Word of God, nothing was made that is made. Then verse 14 is where it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, referring to Jesus. So Jesus is the Word of God. We just looked in the Revelation. That's the name that He's called, the Word of God. And so that Word has always existed. But the body named Jesus has not always existed. Okay? And I'll let you think about that.
Okay. The account of creation is given in summarized detail. So what that tells me is when we read Genesis, we need to read it as an account. We know that God spoke and all things came into existence, but we do not know the detail of what transpired after God spoke. So we can learn by studying the Word of God what was created. We have lots of details about what was created. We're given a little bit of insight into how things were created. And we can see that with the Word, because embedded in the Word of God is power. When the Word of God was spoken and the Holy Spirit, the power was there, the two united and it produced. But we can go through some other scriptures about the things that God did to bring into creation all that we see now.
What kind of references did you put in your study?
Yeah. We did a study on creation. And the reason why this is so important is because if you're in the academic world at all, you are surrounded and inundated with theories that are absolutely against what the Word of God says. Right down with creation to where people believe that there was a big bang that brought things into creation. That people evolved from monkeys or whatever the case may be. But when you go to the Word of God, you can find well over 140 scriptures that tell us that God is the Creator and exactly what it is that He made.
And gives you more detail in how things were created.
I'll give you this example. We'll read what was created in those 6 days. That's summarized. But if you look in Isaiah, in chapter 40, verse 12, you're going to find that God measured the waters in the hollows of His hands. And He literally marked off the heavens with the span of His hands. You think about what builders do and how they mark things off. Now let me keep going and tell you about the awesomeness of our God. He stretched out the heavens with His hands. I found many scripture references, but let me give you three that tell you that. Isaiah 44:24, Isaiah 45:12, Zechariah 12:1. All three of those say that God stretched out the heavens with His hands. He determined the measures of the earth and stretched out the measuring line upon it. Now I want you to think about that. God literally determined the measurements of the earth and stretched out the measuring line upon it. Yet we can be so brazen as mankind to assume we know more than the one that created us, that literally measured the earth and determined. He laid the cornerstone and knows the foundations of the earth and where they're fastened. Do you? I don't. With his strength, he set fast the mountains. You'll find that in Psalm 65:6. He made the clouds and tells them when to rain. He commands the morning and the dawn. You'll see that in Job chapter 38. In fact, if you look in that chapter 38 of Job, many details are given about creation.
Actually, 38, 39, 40, and 41 of Job will give you great insight in creation, what God did in creation. When he asked Job, where were you when?
Yes, where were you when? Did you give the strength to the horses? Let me ask you another question, Job. Can you command the thunderbolts to go when they'll go? Well, let me ask you, can you? You see the magnificence of our God. And so, I believe wholeheartedly that this is, that the Word of God is the absolute truth. And so if I want to find out about creation, I'm going to go to the source of truth, right? The Word of God, and I'm going to ask for the Spirit of God to give me revelation of that Word, to find the truth. You want to know about creation? I'm going to warn you. Go to the source of truth. Don't go to man. Don't rely on a theory. Don't let somebody deceive you. I've heard it said before, and I've probably said it. Well, God's a mystery. You never know what he's going to do. Well, you know what? There's a lot that we don't understand about creation, and there's a lot that we don't understand about our Creator. But he sure does give us lots and lots of details. So I want you to be mindful of that. Everything you see around you, God created. Even right down to, I look at that fire extinguisher. God gave man the wisdom to create that, to invent that which was in need. All the tools, I have the privilege of exploring and discovering all kinds of new tools from a man that has lots of tools that I get to see. And every one of those were created because there was a need. But the intelligence to be able to create that and see that vision came from God. Kenzie and I were driving yesterday evening, and we just happened to be going down, I don't know if it was Fuller Mill Road, and the sun was getting ready to set, and the light on the trees with the leaves changing colors, and the grass was green. It was the most beautiful sight right here in Thomasville that you could see. Man didn't create that, you understand? God created that. Everything you see, God created. And what's even more astounding about that is just, he did it with his word. He spoke it. And the combination of that spoken word uniting with the power of the Spirit of God, it creates. He's still doing the same thing today. He's the same yesterday as he is today, as he'll be forever. He doesn't change. It's amazing. So there's nobody that can tell me that God didn't create heaven and earth and everything in it and mankind. Because I've got the proof to say otherwise. And besides that, any man, any one of us, go outside and look into nature. And just inherently, we know within us there is something bigger and better and wiser than we are that created. That's just inherent in every single person, whether we want to acknowledge it or not.
I just think about Hebrews says, by faith, the world was framed by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So what's holding this world like it is? The Word of God. You don't have to concern yourself if the sunrise is going to be in the east or not. It's always in the east. The setting is in the west. Why? Because God ordained it that way. You don't have to concern yourself about sun or moon. They're there. Why? Because God put them there. And you're going to find some things about this that may surprise you as we go into this book of Genesis. But there's all types of scriptures, references in the scriptures that substantiate God as the creator of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
These philosophers that are coming up with their theories, which is always based on ignorance, because if you have fact, it's no longer a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God has the word of truth, not a theory. So they come up with theory that they can't support. And the only evidence that they have is the evidence in their imagination. They have nothing substantial, nothing objective. You with me? God has objective things. And that's what we need to put our attention on. And so we can learn a lot out of this Pentateuch, out of Genesis.
Yeah. It's really
exciting. What's going to amaze you, or it does me, is how that applies to you personally. You don't even think about it, but how it applies to you personally. Is God creator? Or you made in the image of God? Then you can create. That doesn't make you God, but you have creative ability. Where did that ability come from? The Creator who made you in His image. Can you think independently? Can you rule? Why? Because you're made in the image of God. Animals don't rule over you. You rule over animals. They're not made in the image of God. That's what makes us so unique. Okay?
It really is amazing.
You're still in this introduction.
Yeah, I don't think I've gotten past C.
I think we're on the letters C.
Oh, yeah, we've mentioned that.
You can't read like mine.
This one does, yes, sir. The account of creation is given in summarized detail. We know that God spoke and all things came into existence. But we do not know all the detail of what transpired after God spoke. The results of God's spoken words are recorded, but the time element and the method of creation are uncertain. And that's so interesting because we like to try to put details, assign details to things that we just don't know. The Bible plainly reveals that creation took 6 days. But not everyone agrees on the length of the day. And so let's take a look at why. We've talked and we've read, because we've already read 2 Peter. In the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse, some say a day is as 1,000 years.
And this is just a person putting their own private interpretation to what this verse says.
Mm-hmm.
Because the verse does not say a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. It is as. There's a world of difference. It's as 1,000 years. What does that mean? Time's nothing. Mm-hmm. You can't compare your time to God. God doesn't see things in the way you see. When God says in very soon, and you think very soon, you may be thinking in minutes. God may be thinking in centuries. What's time compared to eternity?
Mm-hmm.
There's no end to eternity. And so you have to keep those things in perspective, okay?
Okay, then we see another perspective in the first chapter of Genesis in verses 5, 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. Evening and morning consisted of a day.
So what's a day? From evening till morning. Now, the way we know, that's a 24-hour period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we start it from morning to evening. Actually, we started at midnight, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the early the calendar, they start like at 6. The Jews' calendar was from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning. To understand this will help you understand he came walking on the water in the whatever watch of the night.
Yeah.
Or this occurred during this watch of the night. Well, it started in the evening. Okay. And so from evening to evening is a 24-hour period, right? Just like from 12 o'clock midnight to 12 o'clock midnight is a 24-hour period. And so when you look at this in the Genesis, I understand it to say that a day is from evening to the next evening. And then the second day starts. Okay?
But even Jesus said, aren't there 12 hours in a day? Didn't Jesus even say, aren't there 12 hours in a day that we should work while it's day? 12 hours. It is imperative to understand that chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis are only a summarized account of creation. So we talked about that. But we must look at other scriptures in order to get a better understanding of creation, realizing that God did not choose to give us a detailed account of creation. He told us what we need to know. Now,
well, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, God has given us enough information in the Word of God that we should be convinced that God created, and that we should be convinced that God is much smarter than we are, because we don't know how all that happened. Okay? But I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Just, anyway, following these 6 days of creation, God rested. He ceased from his work. There's a difference between word and work. He never ceased from his faith. Everything still held together by faith, you understand? But it says he rested from his work or his labor. Why? He had finished. But his word is eternal. And that word is still holding everything together. Do you know how you are born again and become a new creation? By the word of God. The physical came first. The natural came first. God said, I've done this naturally. I'll speak my word and make a new creation out of you. That's how every one of us got born again, by the word of God.
Mm.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Now, we want to give you some details about creation. We mentioned Job chapter 38. You're going to find some details in there about creation. But I want to share with you some other verses about creation.
Before you do, just open up to Job 38 and read just a few verses there to get some get some insight.
Okay.
This is, you know, Job has not sinned or charged God foolishly, but Job is saying, I'd like to sit down and talk with God and find out what's going on. My paraphrase. Okay?
Okay.
And so in chapter 38, God shows up.
And he's serious. Because he answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of you an answer me. I mean, can you imagine? Well, I would have been a mess.
Just think about the next time you question why God does this, why God does that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when he comes to you and says, all right, get up and act like a man. Now I'm going to ask some questions. You answer me.
Man. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know, or have stretched out the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as it had the issue out, as it had issued out of the womb? Y'all think about that. It's absolutely amazing. If you go to the beach, I know there's a tide, but that water stops, you understand. Even at high tide, that water stops. Only God could do that. Have you ever tried to stop water? Have you? Seriously, we were talking about plumbing today. Have you ever tried to stop water? Can you do it? No.
Yes, with His Word.
He said
the boundaries with His Word. You can go this far and you can't go any farther. And so that Word has the power in it to control how far that water goes.
It's amazing. Look at verse 9. When I made the cloud the garment thereof, the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, I break up for it my decreed place and set bars and doors and said, hitherto shall you come, but no further. And here shall that proud ways be stayed. He's saying, I told those ways. I told that water. Have you commanded the morning since the days and caused the day spring to know his place? That it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. Y'all, let me keep going. Verse 15. And from the wicked their light is withheld, and the high arm shall be broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you pierced the breadth of the earth? Declare it if you know it all. Could you imagine the Lord saying that? Man, I'd be a mess. I don't know. All my dad had to do was look at me and I'd cry. I can't imagine the Creator saying that to me. Where is the way where light dwells? And as far as darkness, where is the place thereof? That you should take to it the bound thereof, and that you should know the path to the house thereof.
Getting the picture?
Look at verse 22. Have you entered into the treasuries of snow? Have you seen the treasuries of hail that I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war?
Now look at that, and you'll find in the Old Testament how God killed more of the army with hail than the Israelites did with the sword. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And you saw in the Revelation how when that wrath of God, how the hailstones of a talent are going to fall on people. What is that? That's God's weapon. One of his weapons that he uses. Can you explain all this? Do you know how it came into existence? And yet these people around here say they know something about how the world came into existence. They know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that says there's no God identifies himself as a fool because the scripture says the fool has said in his heart there's no God.
Mm-hmm. This is amazing. Y'all need to read this. Because it puts things into perspective. And you realize how big he is and how small we are. And that's the perspective we need to have, you understand. That reverential fear, just that awesome respect and admiration for our Creator.
Do you know that the almanac is written off the cycles of the moon? Accurate. Now, how can they do that? Because God has ordained it, and it didn't miss a beat. I mean, you look at the moon, it goes through its cycles. All through the history of mankind, the moon has gone through the cycles. Why? Because God said so. Sun rises, sun sets, because God said so. Now, how does the sun rise and the sun set? Well, it deals with the rotation of the earth. Can you imagine some massive planet just suspended in space and rotates century after century after century at the same pace on the same angle? Now, who are you compared to God? God had all this fixed and it's never missed a beat. You understand? Okay.
You think about just the stupidity of the other theories of creation, like the Big Bang Theory. Just the stupidity of that, of particles of dust coming together and colliding, and then all of a sudden we have perfection. Pete told a story one time, and I don't think I'll ever forget it, because it was really funny. It stuck with me. He said, that'd be like walking past a junkyard and throwing a stick of dynamite in the junkyard and the Cadillac coming out.
Let me tell you what, the Big Bang. God said, light be, bang, it happened.
Yeah.
You understand? Right. And that's about as close as it's going to get to Big Bang.
Yeah.
All right.
We've got lots of other scriptures written down that we want to share with y'all. And y'all take note of these because I'm going to read them, but you need to go back and read them on your own. And here again, I want you to be listening for Jesus, okay? Remember, Jesus is the Word. And I want you to be listening for the awesomeness of our God and what He's created.
I'm going to read Psalm 147 there.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 147, verse 8. Chapter 147, verse 8. Tells us that God covered the heavens with clouds. Let me just read it to you. Let me get to 147. Who covered the heaven with clouds? Who prepared rain for the earth? Who makes grass to grow upon the mountains? So that one little verse tells us that God is the one that covered the heaven with clouds, prepared rain for the earth, made grass to grow upon the mountains. Now, I know that man manipulates things now with chemicals we spray in the sky. I understand that. But we've also talked many times before that if it weren't for the true, there couldn't be a counterfeit.
Okay.
I did it.
It's hard for me not to jump ahead of myself in all this. I'm depending on Heather to sort of keep the reins on me and try to get this thing in a somewhat systematic way.
Okay.
John 1:1-3, mm-hmm. We've already talked about how we've learned that things came by the Word of God. And here again, it's extremely important to know, Heather mentioned early on, Scripture does not contradict itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we see in John, in Genesis, in the beginning, God created. And then we look in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, okay? Then when you get into Paul's writing, he says all things were created by Jesus. Well, is that a contradiction? No, because the Word is the spiritual person. The Jesus, the name, is given to a physical body. And so the physical body can't bear witness because it wasn't there. But the Word brought it into existence, so the Word is witness. Are you with me? And so you have to keep the Scripture together, look at the context. It's not contradictory, it's supplementary. And you just have to study it and let the Spirit of God reveal how all this comes about. And you're going to find, how many of you think that the sun is the light? You're afraid to answer. But we're going to find out in creation that light was the first thing that came into existence the first day. The sun didn't come into existence till the fourth day. Now I'll explain all that to him. I'm like Job. I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. I've already realized I don't need to be in conversation with God. He's so much smarter than I am. Okay? All right, our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here. I thought I'd just throw that out there and let you think about it, okay? And then you go back in the first chapter of Genesis and see if I'm telling you the truth.
Okay? We're going to pick up with these scriptures when we get back together again.
Mark where we are.
Yes, sir.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you be before you. You guys have a great weekend. Study and take your test Tuesday.